Boy, we are lucky today, and so are you. We have our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, in studio. Let's go to Tracy. Tracy, what's your question for Lisa Lanier?
Hey, good morning, Lisa. I adopted my grandson about 8 or 9 years ago. His father passed away a year and a half ago, and he was his father's only child. We have been told by another attorney, which is he is actually the only living child of his dad, the only one he ever had. But we've been told that he doesn't have any right to his father's estate. Is that true?
So if his father passed without a will, which it sounds like is the case, adoption does, it cuts the tie of being a taker. So if you're adopted, then you're no longer a taker through what's called intestate succession. Intestate succession is where you die without a will. So his father, if he'd had a will, he could have named anybody he wanted. He could have named the son. He could have named anyone. But you're not considered a taker if you've been adopted. It cuts off that familial intestate succession tie. So I think you've gotten sound advice.
Try to say that sentence three times fast.
It's sad. You're kidding. Yeah, it's very sad. I will say this, Tracy. If you're still, are you still there?
She is.
Okay.
Yeah,
Tracy, so sometimes you can kind of do a workaround with if there's anyone else who else is the taker, right? There's, you know, whoever is next in line in intestate succession. Sometimes that person will work with you, and you know, because you can be a taker and still then gift the money to a child that would have been an heir, that kind of thing. And so maybe, you know, explore who the actual taker will be, who will be the recipient of the money, and reach out to them. You'd be surprised. I mean, sometimes people are super greedy and they don't do anything to help a child, but other times I've helped people work it out.
And let me ask you, Lisa, is it a possibility that even though there's no will, there's beneficiaries on maybe an account like a retirement account?
It's possible if he named him. Yeah, he would have had to have named him. So you can name a child, and adoption doesn't cut that off. But we're only talking about the part where you die without a will.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, Trace.
He actually had a life insurance policy, and he did name my grandson as the sole beneficiary.
So the adoption wouldn't cut that off. You should be fine with that.
Yeah, he got his money from that.
Good.
But we were just wondering about the estate and his vehicles and things like that he had.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, Tracy, thank you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Have a good one. If you have a question for our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, now's your chance. 800-682-1075. Let's go to Stephanie. Stephanie, what's your question for Lisa?
Hi, yes. Me and my soon-to-be ex-husband separated in March of last year. Do we still have to file taxes together because we were still together?
Lisa, let me handle this one.
Who's the expert now?
Stephanie, we have a divorce expert. We have a divorce expert sitting across from me.
I have heard all about his divorce proceedings.
Jared, you have the floor. Go ahead.
And I had Jason's intern, and he bailed on me. I want to make my marriage work. I'm like, okay, great. No, Lisa, you can handle this one. I don't say anything wrong.
You know, your tax filing status is up to you. You can do married filing separately. You can do married filing jointly. Really, it's whatever is most advantageous to you. That's what
it doesn't even matter that they're separate, right? Because I can do it right now. I can pick whatever I want.
Yeah, you can pick.
And you could just flip-flop from year to year?
Yeah, you can flip-flop year to year.
Interesting.
Because sometimes you get more money back or saved depending how you file.
Yeah. So some people will, one year do married filing jointly, mm-hmm. and the next year do married filing separately.
You know, and I filed before, like, single and sad, and you get a lot more back. They send you some stuff. It's pretty cool.
What a sad sack.
Let's go
we'll
to break.
Give them extra.
give them extra $20. Oh, let's go to Anonymous. This might be juicy. You're on with our official attorney, Lisa Lanier. Good morning.
Hi, yes. I have a question for Lisa. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to know, I work in an environment that a coworker continues to be mean to me over and over and over. And I, when I come in here, I get a little anxious because it's a nonstop mean person. Can I do anything about that? Is it a hostile work environment.
Anonymous,
or,
do you have a working toilet in your in your
consider yourself lucky.
Right.
The coworker, her name is Katie.
Anonymous.
Oh, what?
Anonymous, does your coworker, this coworker named Katie, does she say things like, you are such a stupid idiot, and that the anxiety comes directly off of your body and not has nothing to do with Katie? Does she say stuff to you like that?
Yeah, she's very radical. And she doesn't,
okay.
She's lost her mind. She's emotionally crazy.
Uh-huh. Emotionally crazy.
I'm just curious, Anonymous, what sort of behaviors, you know, are involved that trigger this, you know, because are you doing anything that, you know, would get on her nerves?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, she works on a local morning show.
What?
That sounds so familiar.
Not to me.
Yeah. She calls me names when I have my right opinions, which is mostly right, and then she calls me names when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
is there any recourse?
Can I do anything about that, though? Like, is it a hostile work environment? Can I, you know, or I just have to deal with her crap?
Or, Lisa, in the perfect world, could Katie sue that coworker?
I think I'm hearing a cross claim made out of this. You know?
Is there an arrearment coming?
Yeah. All right. Good call. Thank you, Anonymous.